This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight we continue our series of explaining Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa', the remembrance of the morning and the evening, and we're up to the 12th dhikr. And this is the narration of Abban ibn Uthman. Rahimahullah, he narrated that his father, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَقُولُ فِي صَبَاحِ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَمَسَاءِ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ فَيَضُرَّهُ شَيْءٌ. And in another narration, فَيَضُرُّهُ شَيْءٌ. And we'll explain the difference. He said, رضي الله عنه, that is Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه, he said, there is not a single servant who says during the morning of every day and the evening of every night, in the name of Allah, Bismillah, الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, with whose name nothing can harm in the earth nor in the sky, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, he is the all-hearing and all-knowing. Whoever says this three times in the morning and at night, nothing will harm him. That's the hadith, that's the narration. This hadith was narrated by al-Bukhari in al-Adab al-Mufrad, al-Tirmidhi, al-Nasa'i, Imam Ahmad narrated it, and it was authenticated by al-Tirmidhi, al-Hakim, Ibn Hibban, and others. May Allah Azza wa Jal bestow His mercy upon them. But when Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah narrated this hadith, he mentioned a story directly after it. And this is very rare, he doesn't do this. He did this on this occasion. He put a story. And this story that is found directly under this narration is the story of the narrator of the hadith, Abban ibn Uthman radiyallahu anhu. And we said Abban is from al-Tabi'een, he is the son of Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. Abban, rahimahullah, he was afflicted with al-falij. Al-falij is paralysis in one side of the body, meaning half his body was paralyzed. It was slanting. And his face, half of it was slanting down, and his hand and his feet. That was the kind of calamity that afflicted him. So one day, when he was sitting among a people, among the gathering, and he was narrating this hadith to them, he was teaching them this hadith, and he reached the end of it, meaning he said to the people, whoever says this dhikr three times in the morning, three times at night, nothing would harm him. There was a person in the crowd that was listening to Abban, and he was staring at Abban and staring closely at his body that is paralyzed, the half of his body that is paralyzed. He was staring, he was looking, yani confused and in doubt, as though this person is saying, yani Abban, you're telling us that whoever reads this dhikr in the morning and at night, nothing will harm him. But it doesn't make sense. How come your body is harmed? How come you're paralyzed? So this man had a confused, doubtful look. So Abban, rahimahullah, noticed the stare of this man. And he said to him, لا تنظر, stop staring. He said to him, the hadith is as authentic as it gets. These are the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, the one who does not speak from his desire, and he speaks that which was revealed to him from Allah azza wa jal. Then Abban said to him, however, on that day that I got paralyzed in half of my body, I realized that I had forgotten to say this dhikr, لِيَمْضِيَ اللَّهُ قَدَرَهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah Azza wa Jal brought His decree upon me. This person that was sitting in the gathering, he had this doubtful, confused look. 1,300 years ago. So imagine the kind of doubt that has crept into the Muslim mind and heart today. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we learn from this story that we need to have absolute conviction and certainty in the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and certainty when implementing the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, some Muslims, if not many, actually many Muslims, have an attitude, this attitude of certainty and confidence with the teachings of Islam. Yani, you know, for example, there's a hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِذَا وَقَعَ الذُّبَابُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلِيَغْمِسُهُ. If the fly was to fall in the water or the fluid of any one of you, then just dip this fly in, because one wing, there is disease, there's an illness in one wing, and there is shifa, there is cure in the other wing. And then remove it, throw it, and continue to drink your drink. Of course, this hadith, there are Muslims that came out, so-called learned Muslims, casting doubt in the mind of Muslims to say, how could this be authentic? What is this type of teaching? This cannot be the truth. Until recently, a study was performed, and this study concluded to say that the fly, certainly indeed, on one wing of it, there is sickness, there are viruses, bacteria, germs on one wing. And on the other wing, there is a cure for that disease that is on the other wing. You see, anyone whose iman became certain because of the research, he's in danger. There is problem. And the one who was certain of this hadith, the moment he heard it, this is the type of iman that is required, and that's the type of certainty that is required. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, you need to understand that the one who said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and entered this Islam, this iman, one of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is al-yaqeen al-munafi lishak. It's to have certainty that removes any ounce of doubt within you. This is a condition of La ilaha illallah. The one who comes on the day of judgment with La ilaha illallah missing all its conditions or some of its conditions, Allahu a'lam what his situation and his case would be on the day of judgment, because his tawheed is not preserved. So that's something we need to learn. And some might say, well, let's try this dhikr here that's between our hands. Let's try it. Bismillah, alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Let's try it. We don't have anything to lose. Maybe it will benefit. If you're coming with this attitude, then this dhikr that you say will have little to no effect on you. Because this is coming out without certainty with the hadith. And worse than that is to abandon the ahadith and to abandon all these teachings in Islam because it just doesn't make sense to me. I can't see how, yani, this is the truth. And you remember, my brothers and sisters in Islam, in this series earlier on, we took Sayyidul Istighfar. And we spoke about Sayyidul Istighfar and that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said within that hadith, مَنْ قَالَهَا مُوقِنًا بِهَا. Anyone who said Sayyidul Istighfar with certainty, believing absolute certainty in every word of that dhikr, he says it in the morning. And then before, and if he dies before the evening, he enters the paradise. And if he said it in the evening and dies before the morning, he enters the paradise. But the condition was muqinan biha. He says it with certainty. And that certainty attitude is not only for that dhikr. That attitude of certainty must be with all the adhkar and the dua that you say. And this is why one of the conditions of an accepted dua is to make the dua while you are certain that Allah Azza wa Jal is capable of answering and giving you exactly that which you requested. And if you are seeking Allah's protection, like in the case of this dhikr, because this dhikr, essentially we are seeking Allah's protection, then you need to be absolutely certain that He subhanahu wa ta'ala could definitely protect you from every harmful matter. whether it is coming from above or below. في الأرض ولا في السماء. We'll explain the words when we get there. And you need to reflect and ponder. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown in the fire? And you all know the story? Does anyone doubt that? And you all know that Allah Azza wa Jal protect Yunus alayhi salam when he was in the belly of the whale, he was protected. And that Allah Azza wa Jal protected Musa alayhi salam and he saved him from Fir'aun. And that was like yesterday, the day of Ashura. And that Allah Azza wa Jal protected the Kaaba. He protected the Kaaba from Abraha and his army when they came to destroy it by sending birds, and these birds would throw stones at the army. And that Allah Azza wa Jal protected the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Quraysh when they were after him, when he was doing the migration from Mecca to Al-Madinah. And when Suraq ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, but at that time he was still a disbeliever, he followed in the path of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his horse would sink into the ground and he wasn't able to get to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these stories that we know, what effect did they have in your heart? The greatest effect they're supposed to have on your heart is for you to add certainty upon certainty in your heart towards the teachings of Islam and towards the teachings of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the point of these stories. وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, we narrate unto you the stories of the prophets so that we keep your heart firm upon this deen, steadfast. And from steadfastness upon Islam, most definitely is to have certainty in all Allah Azza wa Jalla's promises and in all his teachings. So why the doubt? Why the doubt? Where does this doubt come from? No doubt it comes from the shaytan. Then the shaytan, he made a promise to Allah. And he said, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I am going to deceive them all. I am going to misguide them all. And of course, the very first thing that a shaytan wants to misguide you in is your belief. Before anything else, the first plan of a shaytan is to see how can he make you a kafir. That's his first plan and that's his first plot. If he failed in that, then he'll try to bring you into a major sin. If he can't do so, into a minor sin. If he can't do so, he's got other plans. But the idea is the first thing he wants to make you fall a victim to is to doubt your deen. Well, shaytan is going to remain on top of your head with this mission until the last day, just before you die. This is why when we pray and we make at-tahiyyat, at the very end there is a dua, a very important dua. Some ulama would consider it obligatory. The one who doesn't say it, to that type of ulama, they say your salat is invalid. And that is to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-nar wa min azab al-qabr wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat wa min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. Tawus, from among the tabi'een, he would ask his son, did you say this dua? If he said to him no, he'd say to him, get up and repeat your salat. This dua, you're seeking Allah's protection from four types of evil and fitan. But one of them is fitnatil mahya wal mamat. The fitna of mamat. What is the fitna of mamat? What is the trial of death? The trial of death is when the shaytan comes to you in the final moments of your life to cast doubt within you so that you can doubt the fact that Allah is your Lord and Islam is your religion and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your prophet. That's fitnatul mamat. Anyone who falls victim into fitnatul mamat, finished. You cannot make a tawbah after that. Khalas, you lost. There are two fitan that if you fall into, it's game over. And that is fitnatul mamat, if you fell into that doubt of a shaytan by the death time, and fitnatul dajjal, if you fell into that as well, khalas, that's it. There's no chance of making a tawbah afterwards. Person is ended. So what I'm saying to you is that a shaytan, from the very beginning until the very end, his greatest mission is to cast doubt into your heart. And so don't be surprised when we live in a day, an age where a lot of doubt has been casted about Islam and its teachings. Isn't that the case? And it affects many Muslims. And Muslims now turning to atheism and other isms to find their answers and their solutions and whatever it is. Then you need to be careful. This is a trap of the shaitan. The one who knows it's a trap of the shaitan, he will be protected. Because at least he can see the war of the shaitan, what the shaitan is trying to battle him with. Okay, so how do we protect ourselves from this doubt? So we don't fall into doubt. Remember, I'm still making this reflection with you because of that man that looked at a ban and he was confused. Yani, what are you talking about? And then he said to him, لا تنظر, don't stare. That's the reflection we're still making. How do we protect our hearts from doubt? There are many ways. I'll give you two. We said one of them is to read the stories of the prophets and reflect over that. And that all those incidents are haqq. They are all truth. Like we were reading today, Surah Al-Kahf and the story of the cave. These are men that Allah Azza wa Jal put them in a cave for 300 plus years. You believe that He protected them for all that time? Of course. Allah Azza wa Jal can protect and He has the ability to do so. So there's no need to doubt anything. One of the means to protect certainty in your heart is to say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, when the doubt hits. Because you're seeking Allah's protection from a shaytan. Well, shaytan is the one who's causing the doubt. So that's the first means, that's the first weapon and tool. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And secondly, الدعاء. It was narrated that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to say, Allahumma zidna imanan wa yaqeenan wa fiqha. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, oh Allah, increase us in iman, in certainty, and in deep understanding of the matters of this deen. And you know, you need to reflect also over the worships and the type of matters that you do during the day and during the night. For example, before we sleep, the recommendation, as sunnah, is to recite what? Which surah before you sleep? Surah Al-Mulk, alongside other surah, but Surah Al-Mulk is the famous one that everyone knows. What's the very first ayah? تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. The one who's reading this ayah with awareness and openness, he will understand. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ. Blessed is the one who all kingdom is in his hand. Even there's no reason to doubt anything. Everything is in Allah Azza wa Jal's control and domain. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And it is only He who is capable over all things. Hadi, this is the first ayah in Surah Al-Mulk. It like gives you a charge in your certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal. This, whoever reads this ayah, this is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about the surah, hiya al-munjiyah. It is the surah that saves a person, saves him from everything. From the punishment of the grave, from the punishment of the afterlife, saves him from harm in this life, saves him from doubt, saves him from all matters that are evil. Hiya al-munjiyah. And this is what we're supposed to be reflecting on. And Allah Azza wa Jal didn't even say, Tabarakallah. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He didn't even say his name Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said تَبَارَكَ. And then he gave a reason for why he is blessed. And that reason was because all matters are in his hand. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. بِيَدِهِ meaning in his hand alone and no one else. So there's no room to be doubtful of anything that came from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from Allah azza wa jal. Well, of course, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ud'u Allah wa antum muqiluna bil ijabah. Whenever making dua, make sure you are making dua while you are absolutely certain. And this dhikr that is with us tonight is a dua. Essentially, you are seeking Allah's protection. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa'lamu, and you better all know, annahu la yustajabu, aw anna Allah la yastajibu min qalbin ghafilin lahin, that Allah azza wa jal does not answer the dua that comes from a heart that is heedless and distracted. How does the heart become heedless when making dua? When you are doubtful. That's a heedless heart. If you're saying, for example, oh Allah, forgive me, and you're in doubt, let's just try it, maybe it works. This is a heedless heart. If you're saying this dhikr, Bismillah, الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم, and your heart is in doubt, how are these words going to protect me from all harm that comes from the heavens and from the sky and comes from the earth? How? If you're in doubt, your heart is heedless, and that heedless heart already rejects that dua, the dua won't be accepted. And the other description was lahin, a heart that is distracted. We know that a heedless heart is a heart that is doubtful of what it's seeing. And a distracted heart is the heart that literally someone is playing with something in his hand. He's distracted. He's fiddling with something. There was one of a salaf, he saw someone playing with something while making dua. And then he said, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُ هَذَا لَخَشَعَ جَوَارِحُ. If his heart was upright and it was focused and concentrating, his limbs would have concentrated as well. So to avoid distracted heart during a dua, you make sure your limbs are also concentrating alongside your heart. And also another matter is that when you read and say a dua and a dhikr, you don't understand what it means, that's also a distracted heart. Hence the importance of understanding a dua with dhikr. And this is the entire purpose of the course. Even we need to avoid two things: heedlessness while making dua and distraction while making dua. How do we avoid these two things? You are absolutely certain and convinced that Allah Azza wa Jalla is able to give you whatever you are requesting, whether it's a favor and a mercy and a blessing you want from Him, or whether it's for Him to protect you from harms and evils. You need to be absolutely certain. And you need to not fidget with your hands and on your phone and play with notifications and so on. If you're going to read from your phone, then you need to be careful that you're not distracted with anything on the phone. And also to understand, somewhat on a surface level, that which you are reciting and saying. Now, then and only, you have avoided these two qualities, and now your dua has a better chance of it to be accepted and have a good effect on you. And that is Allah Azza wa Jal protecting you. Now, so Abban radiyallahu anhu, Abban rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said to the man, لا تنظر, don't stare, because this staring of yours to me is incorrect. Why? Because you are listening to an authentic hadith. You are listening to the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is no reason to doubt that. And what we learn from the narration overall is that the one who wants Allah's protection every day and every night, he needs to take by the means. And from the means is to recite this dhikr 3 times in the morning and 3 times at night with certainty and conviction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ. There is not a single slave, whether young or old, man or woman, rich or poor, a slave or a free man, anyone who says, يقول في صباح كل يوم ومساء كل ليلة, who says, during the morning of every day and during the evening of every night. So there's something important to pay attention to here. This dhikr is not limited to adhkar al-sabah wal-masa'. Rather, this dhikr is a broader dhikr. The correct time to make this dhikr, sabah kulli yawm. This dhikr, when we say it is to be said in the morning during the day, yani you have from fajr until maghrib to say it. Fajr until maghrib. Now, what have we said about adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' in general? We said about adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' that the recommended time is from fajr to asr. That's the recommended time. From fajr to al-dhuhr. That's the recommended time. Then you have an extended time from dhuhr to asr if you miss them. And we said that adhkar al-masa' the recommended time is from asr to maghrib. That's the recommended time. And if you miss them in that time, then the extended time you have is from maghrib until the end of the first third of the night. But this one here, Bismillah, الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم, the recommendation is to say it 3 times during the day. And the day is from fajr to maghrib. From fajr to maghrib. But al-ulama included it in adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' so that you can say it from the very beginning of the day, in the early morning, so that you can have that maximized protection for the day. And then it is supposed to be said again at night. مَسَاءَ كُلِّ لَيْلَةِ The evening at night, which begins from Maghrib time, not Asr. And this is why Ibn Allan, rahimahullah, he mentioned in his book, he said, and what is apparent from this narration, is that a person should not say it just before sunset. He shouldn't say it before Maghrib, unless he forgot it to say it in the day, he'll say it for the day. But if you wanted the protection for the night, you will have to say it at Maghrib time. At Maghrib time, you will say, Bismillah, alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i, was-sami'u al-'alim. Three times. And all the other afkar al-masa', you can say it from after Salat al-Asr or after Adhan al-Asr. And there's a narration in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لم يضره شيء في ذلك اليوم وفي تلك الليلة. Once again, the idea of the day and the night. And the day begins with Fajr and ends at Maghrib, and the night begins from Maghrib and ends all the way till next Fajr. And there is another narration in Abu Dawood or Tirmidhi that says, لم تفجأه فاجئة بلاء حتى الليل ومن قالها حين يمسي لم تفجأه فاجئة بلاء حتى يصبح إن شاء الله. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever says it in the morning, no sudden calamity will strike him until the night. And whoever says it in the evening, yani at night, no sudden calamity will strike him until the morning. What does that mean? You know, this sudden calamity, the sudden calamities are many. Yani like heart attacks, strokes, accidents, and calamities just pop out of nowhere that had no reason. These are faji'atu bala'. The one who says this dhikr three times in the morning, three times at night, no sudden calamity will strike him. So this is total protection for this person. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us protection. Well, Qurtubi rahimahullah, he said, since I heard this narration, he said, I applied it in my life and nothing harmed me until I forgot to say it one night. And he was in Al-Madinah, it was at night, he was sleeping. He said, and I woke up to the sting of a scorpion. And he said, I reflected over that night and I had realized that I did not say it. These are true stories that the ulama, rahimahumullah, are giving of their experience with this dhikr. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَيَضُرَّهُ شَيْءٍ Nothing will harm him. Okay. So this dhikr, it begins, Bismillah. The word Bismillah on its own is an incomplete sentence. What does Bismillah mean? How do you translate Bismillah? Anyone? In the name of Allah. We're better to say with the name of Allah. This is ba' utilization. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the name of Allah. But that's an incomplete sentence. In Arabic they call it al-jar wal-majroor. Yani it's a fragment. It's not a complete sentence. Bismillah. You know, let me give you an example. If I was to say, let's just say I came up to you and I said, in the masjid. Is that a complete sentence? No, you have no clue what I'm saying. What do you mean, in the masjid? That's not a complete sentence. Bismillah is like that. With the name of Allah. With the name of Allah what? So ulama, rahimahumullah, they say that this jar wal majroor, these two words, that the ba, the letter ba and ism put together, they are muta'alliq bifi'l mahzuf. They are associated with a verb that has been removed. And that verb must be assumed according to that which you are doing. So, for example, I'll give it simple. If I said Bismillah and I began to eat with the name of Allah, that doesn't make sense. There's a verb that has been removed. What's the assumed verb? Okay, I eat, but we say Bismillahi akul, so that we don't put anything before the name of Allah. So the idea is, I'm saying, with the name of Allah, I eat. But I don't have to say I eat because I'm eating. Or if I'm making wudu and I said Bismillah, that means with the name of Allah, I make wudu. I don't have to say I make wudu because that's what I'm doing. So the omitted verb, the removed verb, is assumed according to that which you are doing. So now, when we say Bismillah here, in this dhikr, what are we doing? What are we saying? We are ultimately seeking Allah's protection from every harm. So the omitted verb, the removed verb here that we need to assume is Bismillahi Astaeeth. With the name of Allah, I seek His protection. With the name of Allah, I seek His help and aid, support and protection, right? So that's what is to be said here. Bismillahi Astaeen. And Bismillah is a huge word. It is a very virtuous word. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, Tabaraka Asmu Rabbika. Just the name of Allah is full of barakah. If the name of Allah was said upon something, it places barakah in that thing. That's the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Bismillah, what it implies, what's implied within it, is humility and servitude. Yani, when you say Bismillah, you're not saying, I seek protection through my own means and my own muscles, and I'm seeking protection through my own skill and my own contacts, and I'm seeking protection through my friends and so on. This is arrogance. When someone says Bismillah, he is forced to be humble, because now he is facing whatever he fears with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is servitude, and that is ultimate humility. So when you say Bismillah, when saying this dhikr, remember this. Remind yourself of this reality. That's the kind of attitude that should be within you. As you say Bismillah, that Ana, oh Allah, I can't protect myself. I can't do it. No one else can protect me. My money is not going to protect me. What's going to protect you? Nothing that you own in this worldly life will do anything for you. So when you say Bismillah, you remember this reality, that it is only by the name Allah, only through Allah, that I will be protected from everything I fear and everything that is harmful and evil to me. Bismillah, right? And that's the very same thing we were speaking about yesterday, about Musa alayhi salam, when Fir'aun was before him and they were coming, and he said to his people, Kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. He said, I have my Lord with me, He'll guide me out of this. He faced al-fitna, he faced 2 million of Fir'aun and his army with the word Ma'ya Rabbi, with Bismillah, he faced it. And Allah Azza wa Jal removed this harm and this threat from him, and Allah Azza wa Jal saved him. So that's the idea. Bismillah is tawheed in the heart, absolute servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so a person is supposed to feel at peace and at ease when he says Bismillah. Allahu Akbar, wallahi, the word Bismillah, it humbles the arrogant heart to understand that I cannot face anything of my fears and no threat in life except by the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommends to say Bismillah when making wudu. Say Bismillah when you get into the car, right? Because that's the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put his foot into the side step of the camel. Now the camel has the saddle and it has a side step. You put your foot, he would say Bismillah. Then when he would mount the animal and sit on it, he'll say Alhamdulillah. Then he'll say Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha. And if you wanted to bring the same situation to what we have, like a car today, when you put your foot on the side step of the car, you will say Bismillah. Then when you sit in the driver's seat, you will say Alhamdulillah. Then you'll say Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. And similarly to an aeroplane, when you put your foot into the aeroplane, you'll say Bismillah. When you sit on the seat, you'll say Alhamdulillah. And same thing for the train and the bus and so on. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recommend, say Bismillah before you get onto the transport. Bismillah before you slaughter. Bismillah before you hunt. Bismillah before you eat. Because if you don't, a shaitan will eat with you. Bismillah when you enter the house. Bismillah before sexual relations with one spouse, so that the shaitan doesn't come and join. Bismillah when leaving the house. Bismillah during the adhkar, which is this one here. Bismillah illadhi la yadhurru ma'a ismihi shay'. Bismillah when we put our dead in the grave. Bismillah wa ala millati rasulillah. So you find out that Bismillah is all over. And it's recommended. Any kind of movement, you always would add with it Bismillah. In a very virtuous word, right? Hatta there was, I think it was Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, during the Battle of Uhud, and he was defending an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his finger got injured. It got cut by one of the enemies of Allah. So he said, hiss, like, you know, because his finger got cut. He's reacting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, أَمَا لَوْ قُلْتَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ لَرَفَعَتْكَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Had you said Bismillah in response to this calamity, the angels would have raised you, they would have lifted you. Allahu Akbar. And so that for everyone, they could have seen that the angels would have raised you up. This is the virtue and the merit and the greatness of this word, Bismillah. الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. So Bismillah, meaning I seek protection with the name of Allah, with whose name nothing can harm in the earth nor in the sky. You see, anyone who seeks protection with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, nothing could harm him. Whether this harm is in the direction of a sama' upwards, meaning could be punishments, calamities, rain, lightning, whatever it is that comes from above, that is a calamity. وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ as well. And nothing could harm if Allah's name is recited from the direction of the earth. The calamities and the punishments that come from the earth. Earthquakes and volcanoes and floods and whatever it is. And this teaches us generally that the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is a means of protection and a shield against evils. لَا يَضُرْ لَا يَضُرْ. What is being negated here is the harm. With the name of Allah, nothing in the sky nor in the earth could harm. So a person could be stung by a scorpion, by a spider, but it won't harm him. A person might get into an accident, but the accident won't harm him. He might eat something harmful, but that won't harm him. That's what is being negated here, the harm. لَا يَضُرُّ مَا اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ شَيْءٌ. Absolutely nothing. Anything. Whether you can see the harm or not, whether you are aware of the harm or not, it cannot harm if you said Bismillah. Physical harms, mental harms, financial harms. You know, people today, when they are health conscious, all about food and what to eat and what not to eat, and especially in this day and age on social media, everyone wants to give his opinion. Watermelon is harmful, or this is harmful, or don't eat this, or don't eat this, or be careful of this, or be careful of that. And you see people are very worried and anxious, and Allah, is this good for my health? It's not. Yahi, Bismillah, and eat. Nothing will harm, as long as it's halal. You just look after what is halal, and you should not carry any burden within your heart. And by the one who doesn't know Allah, or doesn't know Bismillah, هذا, he'll always be anxious with what he's eating, and worried, and terrified, and Wallah al-musta'an. So Bismillah, shay, nothing will harm. No magic, no poison, no evil eye, and especially no harm to one's faith. Because that's the main thing that you want protected, al-Iman that is in the heart. And this hadith and this dhikr also covers and protects al-Iman that is in the heart. Allahu Akbar. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. He built an ark. This ark was very weak in its building and in its structure, to the point where Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَحَمَلْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ ذَاتِ أَلْوَاحٍ وَدُسُرٍ. An ark, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, we carried him on a few pieces of wooden plank and some nails. That's all it was made of. Meanwhile, in 1912, April 15, I don't know who, but they went and built a ship, they called it the Titanic. And they declared, God himself could not sink the ship. This is what they declared. So they took the waves, they took the ocean with their own power and their own will. It wasn't long before it sunk. 1,500 people on it slowly drowned and died. And this entire sophisticated ship with its technology and advancement sunk in 2 hours and 40 minutes. Nuh alayhi salam, an ark, wooden plank, some nails. He built it by himself. And it was facing massive waves. Allah would say, وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ Waves the size of mountains. And nothing happened to it. Why? Because when he got on it, he said, وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرَيْهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا إِنَّ رَبِّي لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ He said, hop on, let's go. Let's go with the name of Allah, مَجْرَيْهَا. It is going to move with the name of Allah, وَمُرْسَاهَا. And it will settle with the name of Allah, with the power of Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Look at the difference. Allah عز وجل saved it. Allah protected it. Even perhaps if you did something like that today and put it in the ocean, maybe it'll be destroyed into 1,000 pieces. لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى protected his ship because بسم الله مجريها ومرساها. So that's the idea. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. This is a aqidah. This is a belief. When the name of Allah is mentioned, nothing can harm in the heavens nor in the earth. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ And he, Allah Azza wa Jal, is السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ These are two names of Allah Azza wa Jal, the all-hearing, the all-knowing. And it's as though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing this hadith and he is seeking a way to Allah through two names of his. This is tawassul ila Allah with two names of his subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sami' As-sami' has two meanings. The first meaning is that he is all sounds. All sounds, whether they are loud or they are silent, he hears them all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran the story of a woman that came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she was complaining of her husband, that he had done al-dhihar with her. That is a long idea, but she's complaining about her husband for something that he had said. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed an ayah, and he said, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاورَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ The first ayah of Surah Al-Mujadalah repeated 3 times the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal heard. Allah Azza wa Jal heard this woman come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She came at Fajr time, meaning the situation was so difficult that she couldn't delay it any further. She had to come at Fajr time. And she spoke to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what is bothering her. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed that indeed he heard this woman that came and began to argue and complain to you about her husband. تشتكي سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما Allah heard your conversation and your dialogue. Aisha radiallahu anha, this is the incredible thing here. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Alhamdulillah الذي وسع سمعه الأصوات. She said, all praise belongs to Allah who can hear all things. She said, this is Aisha saying, this woman came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she spoke to him and I was in my apartment and I could barely hear her. I could hear some words and some words I cannot hear. And Allah Azza wa Jal from above 7 heavens was able to hear her exactly what she was saying. Subhanallah. Wa huwa sami'a. Meaning when you are making this dhikr in the morning and you reach wa huwa sami'a, be very careful and aware of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal just heard what you said. Al-Alim as well, and he knows that you are seeking his protection through the words that you said. There's no need to doubt. There is no need to doubt. Did Allah hear me? Is he going to respond? Will he protect me today or tomorrow or won't he? Be very certain when you say, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ that he heard you seeking his protection. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ He said, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ Do the people assume that we cannot hear their secret talk and their private talks? Of course, Allah Azza wa Jal hears it. So when you know that Allah is as-sami'a, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means be careful with what you're going to talk during the day and during the night. Speak only words that are loving, that Allah Azza wa Jal loves and He is pleased with. And guard your tongue against evil speech. Because the greatest thing that will throw people in Jahannam on the Day of Judgment is because of what their tongue spoke of evil speech and displeasing speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use your tongue for good matters. And I even bring to your attention something, and this is an advice to those who complain and say, I don't know how to read the Qur'an, I haven't memorized anything of the Qur'an, so when I'm in the car or when I'm at work, unlike someone who has memorized the Qur'an, at least he can use his time to read the Qur'an. He doesn't need the copy of the Mus'haf, and even if he did, he enjoys it because he's memorized it. But what about me? I can't memorize, I've tried to memorize, I don't know what's happening, and what can I do to be like someone like that? You know this complaint? It came from a man to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And listen to what he said to him. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, Ya Rasulullah, inni la astati'u an akhudha min al-Qur'an shay'. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I can't take from the Qur'an anything. Meaning I can't commit anything to memory. I can't do it. فَعَلِّمْنِي مَا يُجْزِئُنِي مِنْهُ. Can you teach me something that'll make up for me that missed time I'm missing from reading the Qur'an? Give me a replacement. Teach me something that can replace this. Because I can't memorize. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, قُلْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. They are known as al-baqiyat al-salihat. See these words? Wallahi, don't belittle these words. These words, for the one who doesn't know how to memorize, doesn't have Qur'an in his intellect, he doesn't have Qur'an in his heart that he can read during the day and during the night, it's not a lost cause for you. There's your replacement. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Repeat these and they will be a replacement for you. And of course, they are not a complete replacement from the Qur'an, but it's a solution. Busy yourself with that if you haven't memorized. There's no excuse for anyone. Naam, فَإِذَنْ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ. So be conscious when you say in the morning, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ, and at night, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ. This is reminding you, be careful what you're going to say. Speak words that are pleasing to Allah, and from among them is these, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. And the other meaning for السَّمِيعُ, we said the first meaning is that he hears all sounds. The other, and even from the disbelievers, from his enemy. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he heard the statement of the Jews who said that Allah is stingy and they are the ones that are rich. He heard their saying, meaning Allah, he is the enemy and he hears what they say and he will hold them to account with that which they say. Anyone who insults the Quran wherever he is on earth, and anyone who insults the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and anyone who mocks al-Islam, Allah Azza wa Jalla clearly heard him. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا. We're going to record that which they said. And they'll pay a heavy price for it on the Day of Judgment. And the second meaning for السَّمِيعُ is that Allah answers the dua. That's also the meaning of السَّمِيعُ. Like for example, when we pray and we come up, we say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. What does that mean? سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Here, it doesn't mean only that Allah heard the one who praised him. If you said Allah heard the one who praised him, then what about the one who didn't praise him? Allah heard him as well. Sami'a here means istajab Allahu liman hamida. Allah answers the one who praises him. Right? Wa min du'a'in la yusma'. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek Allah's protection from a du'a la yusma', meaning from a du'a that is unanswered. Otherwise, every dua and every word you say, Allah Azza wa Jal hears it. So that's the second meaning. So, when you say this dhikr, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami', be sure that Allah heard you. And be sure that Allah Azza wa Jal will answer you and grant you that protection that He had promised for the one who says it three times in the morning and three times at night. وهو السميع العليم. And that's the end of this ذكر العليم. والعليم is also a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, the all-knowing, the one who knows everything. The idea is that Allah Azza wa Jal knows you and He knows your situation and He knows what matters are harmful to you and He'll protect you from those. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, to Him belongs the keys of the unseen. ويعلم ما في البر والبحر. وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو ويعلم ما في البر والبحر. This is an ayah, the most comprehensive ayah in the Quran that speaks about Allah's knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal has the keys of the unseen that no one has except Him. And He also knows what's in the land and in the ocean. On every inch of the land, He knows what's on it. Every cave that has not yet been discovered, He knows what's in there. Every mountain top that man has never stepped foot on, He knows what's in there and on there. Wal-bahar, and He knows everything that's in the ocean. Nothing of the ocean has been discovered. Nothing compared to that which has been discovered. Nothing. Right? And He knows all about it. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And every leaf that falls off the tree, He has knowledge of it. That tree, that leaf, when did it grow? How did it grow? What color was it? What was its temperature? All of that. And then how it falls and the angle at which it falls and where it lands and what its ending will be, its entire history and life. That's just for one leaf. And then they multiply this knowledge with every leaf that had fallen since Adam alayhi salam until the end of time. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And even the seeds that are in the darkness of the earth, He knows about them. What seed they are, what information they carry and so on. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسِ. And everything that is alive and everything that is dead, He knows about it. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. That's the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the ulama, رحمهم الله, they mention something here that وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. How is this ending befitting the entire dhikr? Because you said this dhikr wanting Allah Azza wa Jal to respond. So you reminded yourself of the fact that He is a Sami'. He heard you what you said and He will respond to you. Al-Aleem. Al-Aleem meaning, and He knows the matters that harm me and He is the only one that can save me from them. You know, today there might be people walking. They have a bodyguard with them. But the bodyguards that are with them, especially you'll see in convoys where presidents are walking and there's an entire barrage of people and cars and whatever it is, and they're all scared and terrified and looking up and reporting and recalling. Then they don't know everything that is harmful to this person. They don't know. This is a human being, he's limited. But then when you say this dhikr, wallahi, you're walking on earth with better than 100 bodyguards around you. Because even if you had 1,000,000 bodyguards around you, they are not al-aleem. They don't know everything that is harmful for you. Amma Allah Azza wa Jal, He knows every harmful matter on earth and in the heavens. So if you've sought His protection from every harm from the sky and every harm from earth, what could harm such a person? Absolutely nothing. Naam, wallahu a'lam. I'm going to conclude with two more matters, and that is, a person might say, I said this dhikr, but I wasn't protected. He said, I said this dhikr 3 times in the morning, and Allah, calamity struck me that same day. Here we're going to say that this dhikr is a means for protection. A means. Until you take by the means. The result and what happens, all this is in the knowledge and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blame is not on Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah promised, and how come Allah Azza wa Jal didn't fulfill His promise? Ma'ad Allah. The blame is on you. There was something wrong with you. There might have not been that certainty. Allahu a'lam. We're going to say you took by the means and you took the reward for taking by the means. However, Allah Azza wa Jal willed for a matter to happen, and it will happen according to what Allah Azza wa Jal wants. And that shouldn't make you lose faith. Perhaps your faith now is being tested. And in that case, when you say Bismillahi alladhi la yadhurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa fis sama'i wa as-sami'ul 'alim, and a calamity does afflict you, then this dua shifts to protecting something more important from damage and harm, and that is your iman, that you don't lose your faith in that calamity that you have gone through. Because people, when they lose their faith, majority of them lose it in a moment of calamity. Now, and then the other thing is, you might say that, wallah, this dhikr offers protection, comprehensive words. But also the one that we did last time does the same thing. وآيت الكرسي also protects. Well, this dhikr protects and that dhikr protects. And why can't I just say one? خلاص, if they all protect, How about we just say one? وخلاص. And like these words, you see how comprehensive they are? They are covering every single evil you can think about. So you might say, Allah, one's enough. طيب. The idea is, all of them protect and they are all worded differently for you to think about different scenarios and different matters so that your mind can comprehend and be alert and ponder over all situations. Then yes, they all offer protection. The other thing is, so you're going to say there's repetition in them. Yes, but one of the conditions or one of the etiquette of dua is to repeat your dua. You know how we say, Allahumma adkhilna al-jannah, and you continue to repeat it and you repeat it. Look, one of the dua, when we pray upon the dead, what do we say? Allahumma aghfir li hayyina wa mayyitina, wa shahidina wa ghaibina, wa dhakarina wa unthana. Oh, it's different words, but the same idea is being repeated. اغفر لحيينا وميتنا. Forgive the dead among us and the living among us. وشاهدنا وأغائبنا. The present among us and those that are absent. But that's the same as the dead and the living. The male among us and the female among us. But that was already included in the one who's present and the one who's absent. But this is repetition. Allah Azza wa Jal loves the repetition in a dua. This attitude of begging. Like, you know, when the kid comes to his father and says, Dad, $10, no, what is it today? $50, give me, $50, $50, right? And he's there just begging. The idea, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, that's the attitude we have when we do dua. And then let me tell you, in this cold weather, people might, before he leaves the house, put a jumper, put another jumper, then put a jacket. Why? They get extra warm. طبعًا, extra protection as well. One dhikr, and then you say the other, and you say the other. And they are just all extra protection over protection on that heart, so that bi-idhnillah, once you walk out, face this worldly life, you're walking out with a solid shield that no one can destroy. You're walking out with the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us all. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.